Broadcasting from high atop Rocky Road in Moab, Utah, this is KZMU News. I'm Emily Arnson. Today on the show, we'll hear part two of a series about the unsolved murder of a local woman, Anne Woodward. The 1973 cold case was reopened by the Moab police after a missing box of evidence was found earlier this fall. That evidence is now being processed by the state's forensics lab. And the investigator who reopened the case is pretty certain he'll be able to name a culprit once he gets the results back. In case you missed the first episode, here's the backstory. In 1973, Anne Woodward was raped and murdered at Woody's Tavern, strangled to death with her own trousers. She was 46 years old, had four kids, and she owned and ran the bar with her husband, Leslie Woodward, otherwise known as Woody. One night after closing up, she didn't come home. The police and the sheriff got involved, but there was some bad blood between the departments at the time, and for whatever reason, a box of crucial evidence got lost, and the case went unsolved. You can hear more about the new investigation in the first episode, but today we're just going to focus on the Woodward family. We'll talk to Anne's granddaughter about who her grandmother was. We talk about the toll this took on the Woodward family, and about getting closure, with or without a verdict.
That was named after my grandma that was murdered. That's how I got Annie.
This is Annie Dalton, Anne's granddaughter.
There's so much in that name, and it's a part of that history that I carry, but it's like such a heavy story.
Dalton was born in Moab in 1983. She never knew her grandmother, but she's heard plenty of stories, like this one, about the way her grandparents met.
She wrote him a hot check, and then he chased her down, and it was love at first sight. They ended up moving here to Moab.
That was in the early 60s. A lot's changed since then, but at the time, Moab was pretty uptight.
It was scandalous that she would wear shorts while she was gardening.
Moab was a conservative Mormon town, and Anne wasn't either of those things.
She was from a very devout Catholic family. When they started the bar, her family basically wrote her off.
They didn't approve of a woman running a bar.
Right.
Okay.
She was supposed to be a good Catholic girl and a nurse, and they thought she was like throwing her whole life away to like run this bar. If you think about town now, and like it's a small town, but imagine how much more insular it was then. And they were the Catholic family that started a bar in a very, very conservative, rural Mormon town.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a little bit, just sort of how they fit into town?
I don't know if they really fit in. Back then, you know, the religious division was fairly divisive.
And Dalton thinks this ended up playing a huge part in how the investigation unfolded.
Does it seem like the police maybe didn't care about this case enough because Anne Woodward wasn't from Moab or was a Catholic or wore shorts or whatever?
Perceived to be perhaps a bit slutty. Maybe she had it coming. I think the people that knew and loved my grandma, there was no meaning to what had happened. I think that when something that horrific happens in a town like this, to convince yourself that it could never happen to you, to feel safe in that, you do what you can to distance yourself from the person that it happened to. That's most of what I got, the sense of people that were trying to come up with stories that made sense.
To prove to themselves that this couldn't happen to them.
Right.
And this was just a random act of violence that could have happened to anyone.
Yeah, she just had the poor fortune of being beautiful, you know.
That's interesting. That's something that hasn't explicitly come up, but I suppose I did wonder, you know.
I don't think that this would be an issue if she hadn't been beautiful.
For a while, one of the main suspects was Anne's husband, Woody.
In town, after my grandma was killed, even before, there was always gossip, right? I would have people randomly come up to me and have their theory of, like, who really killed my grandma.
He was an eccentric guy, and that made him an easy target in a small town.
He's a legend. He's had multiple families, you know, he's had multiple businesses, made and lost fortunes.
Yeah, what was his personality like?
So he was my grandpa. He was just the old dude that taught me how to play cards, but he taught me how to play cards. And like, he taught me how to count. His mental acuity was just so sharp. He would like drill me on these suits of playing cards, which is totally illegal, right?
Yeah.
But like, he'd go to Vegas and just like clean house. And like, he did it so regularly that he just had comped suites everywhere. He like hired the first go-go dancers in town.
Whoa.
Apparently he got one of them pregnant and like...
Wait.
I don't even know if it's true.
Yeah.
I don't,
so but who, the gossip, who's telling you this story?
Random people. There was a woman who was, she was my babysitter, and her mom was one of those go-go dancers. And so I met her, and she found out who I was. It's once they find out who I am, I mean, the stories, right?
Yeah.
All this stuff. I mean, Moab is just so tame compared to what it, it's been so gentrified.
Yeah.
It's just like kooky to think about what used to happen here. I was like the baby that they put on the bar that hung out while everybody was being an adult. I was like just the baby there, right? Mm-hmm. I just have picked up pieces from different people. So it was right when Vietnam War was ending and all these vets were coming back home. And I mean, now we know more about PTSD, right? But he's the one that took them all in.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that gave them a home. And so that bar was such, it was a central part of people's lives. Everybody knew him. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved him.
Anne and Woody had four kids, Max, Susan, Leslie, and Guy. They were all teenagers when the murder happened. Susan is Dalton's mom.
They all had issues with, you know, substance abuse. The oldest son ended up committing suicide. You know, if you look at severe trauma, I'm sure it was like PTSD that never was addressed. People didn't go to therapy or do anything like that. So they all were carrying this burden in different ways, and it never got resolved. It's a tragedy that just keeps being tragic over and over. And there's just this heavy burden that my mom carried for my whole life. Part of it was her mother's death. My mom was also pregnant that year with my older sister, who she gave up through the Catholic Church. So I didn't know about this until I was older. It was this thing that my mom carried that was grief and loss. And she ended up passing away from COPD. They say that you carry your grief in your lungs.
Mm.
And I've always felt like it was just grief that she never was able to process.
Leslie is the only sibling still alive. A lot of Dalton's cousins still live in town, but she says the family isn't super close.
The cousins were all kind of split apart. I don't think either one of my uncles were able to be the fathers that, you know, they had demons that they were like carrying around.
Do you want to know who did it? Does it matter to you?
It's so far removed. I'm sure the dude's dead. But it's like, yeah, I want to know. Who did this to my family? Seems like a little late for whatever justice could have been given to my mom and her siblings. It would have been nice if they could have resolved it. But even it's like it doesn't matter. The damage has been done. Like my grandma was violently taken away, and all her kids have already had kids. We're all having kids. It's like three generations later. When my mom passed away, she had journals, and we didn't find any of them. I think a lot of it was just personal that she might have just gotten rid of so that she wasn't causing pain. One of the things my mom said a lot was to just turn the page. And so I think that's what she just turned the page.
Dalton says that even though the case is still unsolved, her mom was able to get some sense of closure before she died.
Before my uncle committed suicide, he was dating someone who was watching this show called Sensing Murder. So there was these two psychics that would work on these cold cases.
A while back, her uncle's girlfriend got in touch with the producers of the show and asked if they'd take on the case. It didn't end up working out, but one of the psychics did end up calling Dalton's mom.
At this point, I was like total atheist, super like, I want empirical evidence. Do not feed her any details. I want you to record the entire conversation, which she did. And I listened to the conversation that she had with this woman, and my mom wasn't saying anything other than, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Pam Coronado's the woman that she ended up speaking to.
Mm.
And so Pam described it as if she were in a dream. And so she could enter into this state. And I don't know how this woman does this, to go into this willingly, but she was able to know things about it. And so I don't think any of this was released to the public ever. The things that she was able to tell my mom, I don't, you know, it's like if she couldn't have known this information unless she were like,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Legit, yeah. Doing what she was doing.
The psychic said she could go back to the scene of the crime. And when she did that, this is what she saw.
There was someone there who had asked my grandma to dance, and she had said no. The way that Pam talked about it, she could hear these thoughts in his head of as if like she really wanted it. And so my grandma had a sense that something was off. She asked a friend to stay with her while she was closing, and she let him out the front door. And as she was going to exit out the back, that's when she was attacked. I know it was the first time my mom actually knew the sequence of events of like how her mom had died. She had this story of my grandma going through all this horrible experience, getting raped and strangled, and then getting killed. And I know she got a lot of peace just finding out that like she had been killed first. And there was more to the conversation. So Pam was able to understand that whoever had done this to my grandma had passed already, that my grandma's spirit wasn't clinging to this thing that had happened. She had made peace with the dude, whoever it was, and moved on. And she wanted my mom to move on also. And that was a profound gift.
And this really helped your mom get some closure?
Mm-hmm. I think more than anything that the police or the sheriff's departments had done to that point.
Yeah. What feels like it would give you closure?
I don't know if closure is even the right word, you know. I don't think there's any way to recover from generations of trying to cope with that kind of loss. I think having a kid has shifted so much of just not wanting to hand down this drama.
Mm. Do you feel like your grandma's spirit is still here?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think she's like haunting us, you know, haunting Woody's. I mean, like, those are some of the stories I heard when I first moved here is about this ghost and Woody's. It just seems so preposterous to me that, like, that's how she would choose to spend her afterlife. It's like, what do you do on the other side, you know? The things that bring joy? Yeah, I believe that spirits live on.
You've been listening to part two of a series on the unsolved murder of Anne Woodward. Tomorrow, we'll hear a different perspective from someone who was childhood friends with one of the Woodward's sons. He lived through the aftermath of Anne's death, and he saw firsthand what happened to the community and how the investigation was handled. Tune in tomorrow to KZMU News at noon and 6 p.m. to hear the third part of this story. You can also find KZMU News anytime online at kzmu.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. This story was reported and produced by me, Emily Ernson. Thanks for listening.